यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरा मन चारी जमुना तीरा मन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरा मन चारी जमुना तीरा मन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरा मन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishore Kishori, Jaya Kishore Kishori, Jaya Kishore Kishori, Jaya Kishore Kishori. Jaya Jagatnath, Jagatnath, Baladeva Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad.
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivajak Acharya Shruta Shruta Shri Srimadis Divine Grace. इसी भक्ति वेदांत का स्वामी शीला प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय. ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरंगा. नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जये मुदीरित नष्टे प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुतम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. हरे कृष्णा. सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 19 टाइटल्ड किंग युयाति अचीव्स लिबरेशन, टेक्स्ट नंबर 29. नमस्तुभ्यं भगवते, नमस्तुभ्यं भगवते वासुदेवाय वेदसे, वासुदेवाय वेदसे सर्वभूताधिवास्य शांताय बृहते नमः. नमस्तुभ्यं भगवते वासुदेवाय वेदसे सर्वभूताधिवासाय 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 शांताय बृहते नमः. नमः. आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबिसिएंसेस तुभ्यं unto you Bhagavate, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudevaya, Lord Vasudeva, Vedase, the creator of everything, सर्वभूता आदिवासय प्रेजेंट एवरीवेयर विद इन द हार्ट ऑफ एवरी लिविंग एंटिटी एंड विद इन द एटम ऑल्सो शांतय पीसफुल एज इफ कंप्लीटली इनएक्टिव बृहते द ग्रेटेस्ट ऑफ ऑल नमः I offer my respectful obeisances. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. O Lord Vasudeva, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation. You live as the super soul in everyone's heart and are smaller than the smallest. Yet, you are greater than the greatest. And are all pervading. You appear completely silent, having nothing to do, but this is due to your all-pervading nature and your fullness in all opulences. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. How Devyani became self-realized by the grace of her great husband, Maharaja Yayati, is described here. Describing such realization is another way of performing the bhakti process. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam. Hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming His servant, considering the Lord one's best friend and surrendering everything unto Him. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. Sharvanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting are specially important. By hearing from her husband about the greatness of Lord Vasudeva, Devayani certainly became convinced and surrendered herself and to the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is knowledge. Bahunam Jnananam Ante Jnanam Jnanavan Mam Prapadayante. From Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, Text Number 19. Surrender to Vasudeva is the result of hearing about Him for many, many births. As soon as one surrenders unto Vasudeva, one is liberated immediately because of her association with her great husband, Maharaja Yayati, Devyani became purified, adopted the means of Bhakti Yoga, and thus became liberated. Thus end the Bhakti Vedanta purports of the 9th canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Yayati Achieves Liberation. Om Ajnan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टम स्थापितम येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयम् ददाति स्वपदांतिकम् वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So translation one more time. O Lord Vasudeva, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation. You live as a super soul in everyone's heart and are smaller than the smallest. Yet you are greater than the greatest and are all pervading. You appear completely silent, having nothing to do, but this is due to your all pervading nature and your fullness in all opulences. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So in this chapter 19 and the previous chapter 18, we have been reading and discussing the pastimes of King Yayati, his Devyani, the daughter of Shukracharya, and Sharmishta, the daughter of the king. So it's a nice, you can say, progression, the way this chapter starts is with showing the friendship between Devyani and Sharmishta, and then when they ran into a little bit of argument and Devyani really got very upset and complained to her father, who was ready to curse the king. And then when the king was ready to accept whatever condition the father of Devyani, Shukracharya, wanted to impose, or whatever would please Devyani, he agreed for that. And Shukracharya ordered that whenever Devyani will get married, she will be accompanied by Sharmishta as her maidservant, and also her friends, Sharmishta's friends, they will be accompanying Devyani as the servant. So as it happened, King Yayati married Devyani, and later on Sharmishta also accompanied her. And one thing which is very interesting, and which is not very common in those times, is that Devyani is the daughter of a Brahmana, and she married a Kshatriya. Usually we see it is the other way around. It is generally the daughters of the kings, the Kshatriyas, who are given in marriage to Brahmanas. And I was just thinking about Devahuti. Devahuti was daughter of a very, very exalted king, and she was given in marriage to Kardama Muni. And in spite of the fact that she was used to a lot of opulences, being the daughter of the king, she served Kardama Muni so sincerely that eventually they had given birth to Kapila Dev, who is the incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the discussion between Kapil Dev and Devahuti are some very, very interesting teachings for all the Vaishnavas who are trying to purify themselves and want to make progress in devotional life. Now, in this particular verse, Devyani is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how she has been, if we go back few weeks in our discussion and we read the character or the nature of Devyani, then it is very hard to believe that a person who, you know, was arguing and was getting upset with her friend for just a very, very trivial matter, you know, her friend just by mistake, you know, used her clothes to dress herself in a hurry, and Devyani was so upset with that her. So the same Devyani is now glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a nice way. And so how the transformation happened, as we also have read that King Yayati and Devyani, they were trying to enjoy for 1,000 years, and at the end of those 1,000 years, King Yayati realized that all that material enjoyment, all that sense gratification is not helping at all. It is maybe causing more frustration. Something which I was reading recently is quite interesting and very easy to understand analogy, that the lusts are like itching. I don't know if at any stage you have suffered with any skin, you know, problem. Sometimes the skin is dry and it is itching somewhere, or you have a mosquito bite and it is itching. And you say, okay, there's a little itch, so let me scratch it. And then you scratch it, and then you want to scratch more, and then you want to scratch more. So trying to satisfy the lusty desires is the same, is similar. You try to satisfy some of your desires, and then you want to do more and more, and you get more and more entangled. So this is exactly what happened with Devyani and King Yayati, till such time that King Yayati realized that this is not the purpose of the human life. So when I was reading the last verse, which was discussed yesterday, is very interesting, especially the analogy given that when we are here in this material world, it is like staying in a hotel full of tourists. So we are a visitor in this particular material world. And when we stay for a little longer time in a hotel, we get familiar with the surroundings, we get familiar with our room, we get familiar with the restaurant in the hotel, we get familiar with the staff of the hotel, and they start treating us also that way. They will every day in the morning when they see you, they greet you by your name, and you also, you know, respond accordingly. You know it. And then after some time, when your assignment is over, you leave the hotel. So it is the same situation for us when we arrive in this material world. We are here, we have certain tasks to perform, we have certain duties to perform. Some of us do that very nicely, some of us don't do that very nicely. But at the end of the day, we have to leave the hotel. We have to leave the material world. And depending on how we have performed our duties or not performed our duties, our next destination is decided. So Devayani also realized after hearing from Yayati, when Yayati explained the story in the form of their own story in the form of he-goat and she-goat, Devayani was able to understand what her husband is trying to tell her. And she also, because of the association of Yayati, was transformed. And like I said earlier, it is very important that the impact of association on a person is very, very, you know, important. And it plays a very important role in the life of an individual. Here, Devayani was transformed because of her association and because of hearing from Yayati. And I was just trying to see how association has an impact in our own lives. And I have mentioned this earlier also, and I would like to repeat it, especially because some of you have decided to, you know, give your life outside in the material world and dedicate it completely at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is such a nice thing to do. And not many people have that courage to do it. When you stay in the temple or when you stay in an ashram, what is the gain or the advantage you have over rest of us who are not staying here in the ashram community? And when I think about it, I let me share with you what I feel, that even some of us who are not staying here in the temple, we have all the opportunities to serve the deities, serve their lordship. We can engage ourselves in devotional service. We can chant, we can read scriptures, we can hear scriptures, we can come to the temple and do some services depending on the needs. We can engage in all those tasks, we can go on book distribution and so on and so forth. But one thing which we miss is a constant association of other devotees. So this is something which is very, very unique and is available only in the temple environment. At home, or for grihasthas, it is also available in the form of their spouses, their family members. And then it becomes very important that the grihasthas, both the spouses, the husband and wife, they think alike, or they have at least the same feelings, or their nature is similar when it comes to serving their lordship. Because otherwise, that association which one longs for is really going to be cause of miseries. If one of any, you can say, the difference in nature of a husband and wife can be cause of a big problem for them. So, by being in the ashram, the brahmacharis and all the devotees, they are ensuring that they have association, and the association which is really going to transform one's life is really available to them. And that's where I feel that those who are staying in the temple are really very, very fortunate in that respect. So, now, how she is describing, let's look at the verse one more time. Devyani is describing the different characteristics and nature and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, teachings, where he says, discusses these nine processes of bhakti. But Srila Prabhupada says that in Kali Yuga, Shravanam and Kirtanam are the most important ways of engaging oneself in bhakti. So, I was thinking that until and unless one has the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can try to engage ourselves in different services, but that mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the blessings of our superiors and other devotees is very, very important. And one example I was thinking of, which is also related somehow to this particular story, and as a matter of fact, when we move to the next chapter, we will read more about it. And that is about Vishwamitra and Menaka. So, Vishwamitra was engaged in, he was meditating for thousands of years, and when Lord of the Heaven, King Indra, Lord Indra, he was kind of shaky. He was disturbed that maybe Vishwamitra is after his position. So he sent Menaka to distract Vishwamitra. And that's exactly what happened. So they had a daughter called Shakuntala. Shakuntala eventually married Dushyant, King Dushyant, and from their union, a boy, Bharat, was born. And India is named after that particular. He became eventually the king of the the world, and his Bharat Varsh. That's how India got the name from him. So, Vishwamitra, who was such a great saint, he was disturbed by appearance of Menaka. On the other hand, we have also heard about Haridas Thakur. So, Haridas Thakur also faced a similar situation where the most beautiful and expert prostitute of the area was sent to him to disturb him, to distract him. But because he had the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was able to he was not disturbed, and on the other hand, he was able to transform the prostitute to become a devotee. The prostitute also started chanting by in association of Haridas Thakur. So again, I'm just trying to relate it with the transfer the association part, that the association played such an important role there, and it plays an important role in our lives also. So, one would only be happy and satisfied in life if one is engaging in the devotional activities. All other activities will bring us maybe temporary happiness, as we have seen in this particular chapter, in the previous chapter, where, like I said earlier, that King Yayati and Devayani, they were enjoying for thousands of years, but still, at the end of the day, they were frustrated King Yayati was frustrated and he realized that that is not the purpose of his life. So, that's when he felt that it is time for him to give up that and, you know, surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord. And this is exactly what Devyani is also doing here. Srila Prabhupada says here that by hearing from her husband about the greatness of Lord Vasudeva, Devyani certainly became convinced and surrendered herself unto the lotus feet of the Lord. So, by surrendering at the lotus feet of the Lord, she is now taking the shelter of the Lord, and this is how her husband and she, they were liberated. So, when we read Srila Prabhupada's purports, whether in Srimad Bhagavatam or even other publications, he emphasizes this a lot, that the surrender part is discussed and emphasized by Srila Prabhupada in all his writings, that we have to surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord, we have to surrender at the lotus feet of our spiritual master and learn from the spiritual master. We have to inquire from the spiritual master how we can make progress in our devotional life, how we can purify our thought process, and how we can then chant properly so that we can connect ourselves properly with the Lord. So, Kirtanam is one of such opportunities in which most of the devotees engage, and we get the purification, we get the benefit of it, which allows us to make progress in our devotional life. So, I guess I will stop here and allow questions, discussions. Also, since this is the last verse of this chapter, if you have some other realizations from these past times, please feel free to share them with others. Thank you.
Prabhu, I forgot. Can you explain that who are the topmost devotees for like Shravan, Kirtan, Vishnu Saranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam? Especially that is Shravana, I think, Parikiti Maharaj. And Kirtan is Sutta Goswami. Okay. Sutta Goswami or Sukadevi. Then Pada Sevanam is
Lakshmi.
Lakshmi. And Vandana, who is Vandana? Akrura?
Yeah. Yes, you are right.
Akrura. And Archanam is for who is that? Archanam is
Prithu Maharaj.
Prithu Maharaj? Okay. That's what I was confused.
And Sakyam is Arjun. And Atam Nivedan is Bali Maharaj. And who, there was one devotee who had all these nine, who perfected all these nine processes.
Amrish
Maharaj. Yes.
Krishna, I'm wondering if you can give some practical guidance to associating with devotees. You mentioned how important it is, and especially how nice it is to be in the ashram. There's always devotees, so if you have any advice or guidance on how to best take advantage of the association of devotees.
Thank you. It's a nice question, and there are two aspects of this. So one is taking association and one is giving association, because you are looking towards some people and you are trying to learn from them, and there are other people who are trying to learn from you. So it becomes very, very important then for each and every one of us to be an example, set an example for others. So when it comes to associate and taking association from others, we have to see how our seniors are conducting themselves, how they are leading their lives, how, you know, and how they are engaging in services. So there are different aspects when, like, when you are staying here in the temple. There are different aspects of you start your day in the morning and it continues till evening, and for most part of the day you are quite busy. Now, during all that time, how you are conducting yourself is very, very important. So why I'm saying you means like any one of us, anyone who is staying here in the temple, because it is going to have an influence on rest of the devotees who are also in the temple. So one has to be very conscious of this particular fact and accordingly conduct. Even sometimes even small comments we may make jokingly can impact the others severely. So we have to be careful, we have to be pakka and confirm, you know, steady in our sadhana. It's not like, okay, Srila Prabhupada was, you know, speaking in one of the lectures that, you know, there's a devotee, he gets up at 9 o'clock in the morning and people call him a great devotee. So he said, what kind of a devotee is he if he is getting up at 9 o'clock in the morning? So we have to follow the process which has been set for us by Srila Prabhupada properly. We carry out our responsibilities properly, and that way we set a good example for others. So if we set a good example for others, then obviously they are going to also benefit from it a lot. So there was a, and we don't even have to then preach as such. You know, there is a saying in English that action speaks louder than words. So if I'm staying here with you and I want you to learn something from me, then I have to act that way. If I just say certain things to you but I don't conduct myself accordingly, you are not going to follow them at all. There was something which a senior devotee shared once in a discussion. She had been working in a university, and she was very good. She is very good in her work. So there were several other colleagues of hers, and they were all given a task to conduct, to do. And she finished her work very fast, and really she did a good quality work. And she went to her boss and says, okay, I finished my job, or I finished whatever, you know, assignment you gave me, and here it is. And it was pretty good. He was quite impressed. And he says, how do you do it? So she says, if I tell you, you won't believe. So he said, no, I want to know how you were able to do such good quality work in such a short period of time, whereas all your other colleagues, they haven't even reached anywhere near 50% of the task. So she said, Krishna helps me. And then he said, who's Krishna? So she had an opportunity to talk to him a little bit about Krishna consciousness. So the point I'm trying to make is that we all have responsibilities, and how sincerely we carry out those responsibilities which are assigned to us is very important. It has an influence on others. It has influence not only on our life, it has an influence on the life of others also. And it gives a great opportunity to others also to learn from, you know, one another. So that way one can learn from others. Okay, does it answer somewhat? Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. Prabhu, after this hearing this class or anything, this verse, so there is I got a sense actually, and then even I have a doubt. What is that doubt is? Even he was engaging for his sense gratification for a long thousand and thousand years. So, okay. So, Lord says that tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. He didn't do that, but he was engaging in sense-oriented gratification. Even after that, how can he, got the devotion, and he's saying he's totally surrendering.
santaya brihate namaha is totally surrendering. How can it happens? I'm just wondering that how it happened.
So, like I said earlier, that the process of sense gratification or trying to satisfy our senses is only temporary happiness. It is not going to, create happiness in us forever. That permanent happiness comes only by surrendering at the lotus feet of the Lord. So, sometimes it happens in our lives as well. Sometimes we are distracted by certain small mundane things, and we say, oh, this is really what I was looking for. But we all know that we only get a temporary happiness because of that. You can think of anything, you can just go back in your life and think that, okay, I thought that this is really going to bring me happiness, a good job or a good wife or a lot of money or a new model of iPhone, whatever. Sometimes we just are longing. I'm longing for to get a new computer or a new phone, and I'm thinking that this is the only thing which is really going to bring me happiness. And once I am holding an iPhone X in my hand, I'm the most happy person in the world. And then somehow, by Krishna's mercy, Krishna fulfills that desire of all of us. So by Krishna's mercy, I get that phone, and I feel so happy until next day when Apple comes out with another new model. So that happiness was just very, very temporary. So here King Yayati, who felt that, by marrying Devayani and enjoying, he actually exchanged his old age with his son, because he felt that by enjoying, the aim of his life is to enjoy. And until and unless he does that, he is not going to lead anywhere. So he exchanged his youth with his son, and in spite of all that, in spite of that, he at some stage he realized that he has wasted those years. There's another thing which is described by in the previous purports, is that there was a verse which we read, that trying to satisfy the senses is like putting ghee in fire. But if we put lot of ghee in the fire, we can extinguish it. Correct? So I think for Yayati, that was the scene. He did so much, tried in this program of sense gratification. He was so involved in that he realized that it is not really helping him at all. It is not really bringing him happiness, which is going to stay with him. And that is what transformed him. And he then realized that he has to give up all that and surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay. Any other? Baldev, Jai Baldev Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were mentioning people will be more influenced by what we do than by what we say, what we constantly preach to them. And that reminds me of a nice quote that says, we are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. We say it in the life of Prabhupada, he didn't, when he started the Hare Krishna movement, he didn't tell people, you guys are sinners, you're rascals. He wasn't like singing out on the street. He just started singing Hare Krishna, and people was naturally attracted to his light. And then he didn't give devotees rules and regulations first. They saw that this person actually cares about me, and naturally they wanted to surrender unto him. So I kind of appreciated that point. But my question is related to the point that one devotee told me the other day, is that what we go through what we all go through, they essentially say, I had a friend, and they were nice to me before, but now they don't talk to me anymore. And so in this particular verse, the one thing I appreciate is that Devayani, she was looking for shelter in Sukracharya's son. Will you give me shelter? And he said, no, he was cold-blooded. And then she looked for shelter in King Yayati. Will you give me shelter? he partially gave her shelter, but then he also slept with another woman. So he only gave her partial shelter, and she became distraught. So one thing I appreciate about it, in the Gita says, chapter 9, Mahatmanas tu mam partha divin prakritam ashritaha, that the great souls take shelter, ashritaha, in the Lord, just like it's winter now. And we take shelter in a warm place, and sometimes people are cold-blooded. And so that's why we see that Devayani, by her husband's mercy, she was, wasn't looking for shelter anyone but Krishna. And so how do we could speak all these analogies I want, even me too. I could speak all the analogies, but when it comes to, you know, someone you had a deep relationship with, and all of a sudden, you know, they ignore you and they don't want to talk to you anymore, how do you get past that? Or what are some steps you get past that to maintain your own Krishna consciousness?
So Prabhu, number of times there could be a miscommunication or a misunderstanding. And also it happens because we speculate a lot. Now you may really not have done anything to offend me, but because of something, you know, because of maybe, say, you may be genuinely very busy in certain things, and because of your engagement in something which really needs all your attention, you might not pay attention to me, you may ignore me for some, you know, you say, okay, well, I have to focus on this, and for today, rest of the day, I'm not going to take any phone calls. And I try and call you, and then you ignore my calls, because you are focusing on certain thing which is very important. And then I speculate, because that's my nature, I speculate that, Jai Baldeva Prabhu is upset with me, and, you know, it's not fair, why he's treating me like that. So now, this kind of situation happens. This is just a very simple example. So, but these kind of situations do happen in our lives. Now, what is the remedy? What do we have to do? So one thing which a person can do is to act normal. So in this example which I gave you, if you also start responding in the same way as I was thinking, then my belief will be further confirmed that, oh, this is true, what I was thinking is true. But if, on the other hand, if you talk to, after you have finished your project and after you have, you know, you have time available, you correspond with me normally, you talk to me normally, you greet me normally as in the past, then I'll be forced to think that I was wrong. The problem is that most of the time, we don't want to think that I am wrong. We want to think that other people are wrong. So that is one of the reasons where these relationship issues come. I have shared this earlier also. Bhakti Tirath Maharaj, in one of his seminars, has very clearly said that in relationships, please always think that I am at fault, because I cannot change others. I can only try to change myself. So if I feel, if I decide that others are wrong, that's end of the relationship. And as I said, because most of the time we feel that others are wrong, and it becomes more and more difficult than to salvage the situation.
Jai, thank you. That's a good point. That reminds me of that, like you said, fault finding doesn't bring happiness. In the history of mankind, I've never seen anyone who looks peaceful or happy, you know, finding fault with others. If we can find peace or happiness or even make money from fault finding, maybe we should work for a magazine that fault finds. But nobody ever looks peaceful or happy. So that's a very profound point. So
I just want to share one of the first seminars I attended in this temple was given by His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj, and he was speaking about Vaishnava etiquettes. And among several things which he discussed, one of them was that a Vaishnava doesn't criticize others. And I thought, oh, the spice of my life is gone. So we are so much used to criticizing others that without that, you know, our day will not be complete, you know. We will not be able to sleep properly if we have not been able to do that share, you know, finish our quota of criticism. So that's a habit which is not very easy to overcome, But at the same time, that's a very, very detrimental and also a big impediment in making progress in our devotional life. And that brings me also to the other questions which Giridhari Prabhu asked, that how do we associate? And that's where we have to see how our senior Vaishnavas, how our spiritual masters, they behave, they act, they conduct themselves. And we have to learn from them that criticism is not the solution to anything. There could be differences, and then they should be, you know, presented in a respectable way, but not like, you know, backbiting and finding faults. That shouldn't be the only aim of our life. Sometimes we have to correct our other associates, or other, you know, friends. But if it is being done with the aim of improving our services, our service standards, it is definitely helpful. If it is depending also on your relationship with other devotees, you may want to tell them certain things because that may help them to become a better devotee. So there are always these exceptions. So if we keep them in mind and we do it with a genuine and sincere motive, it is definitely helpful. Okay. Any other? Suhal Prabhu, Acharya Nishtha Prabhu, add something, Prabhu. You are such a learned person. You can definitely, you know, help all of us by sharing some of your, you know, wisdom.
It's a beautiful verse, because also the question is that who's actually offering this prayer, because it doesn't say Devayani, Devayani Uvacha. So it just comes. So I was thinking it's Shukadeva Goswami, but there's a parenthesis that comes saying, Devayani certainly became convinced and surrendered herself unto the lotus feet of the Lord, parenthesis, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. But there's no Sanskrit that says that she's offering this prayer.
When I was preparing for this presentation, this question came in my mind also, that who is offering this prayer? But then when I read a couple of other commentaries and things, lectures, then it was clear that Devayani is the one who is doing it. Because if we also refer to the previous verse, verse number 28, where Devayani is talking, correct? So it is continuation of that.
She wasn't talking though, right? It was describing.
She was describing about the, you know, position of being in this world is like being in a hotel, correct?
It's just describing that she gave up her imaginary position, completely fixing her mind upon Krishna. She achieved liberation from gross and subtle bodies. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but the verse today, just a subtle, nice point, it says that you appear completely silent, having nothing to do, but this is due to your all-pervading nature and your fullness in all opulences. Mm-hmm. So that verse comes, Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidyate. And Krishna has actually nothing to do, but by his various potencies, he's maintaining everything. So a helpful way to meditate on Krishna, on the Super Soul, is the actual doer, even though, as we know, Krishna is just playing the flute.
In chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, this is what exactly Krishna is discussing. And he says he is there. I mean, and we, when we read Bhagavad Gita, I was just reminded of Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Lord Krishna to Arjun, that even though it's like he has said everything, and then they move on their own. So he's aloof, but yet everything happens with his sanction. There was a, also we are talking here about, you know, the presence of Lord everywhere. So there was a story I heard that there were some students in an ashram, and the teacher taught them this particular subject, that Krishna or the Lord is present everywhere, is omnipresent. he's there in each and every living entity, a super soul. So after the lesson was over, he asked the students to, he gave each student a mango and said that, you have 1 hour, go and eat the mango where nobody can see you. And after 1 hour, you have to report me. So all the students went, some climbed a tree, some went behind the building, some went somewhere, some went other places. And after an hour, at the appointed time, all of them, they assembled together in presence of their teacher. And everybody was very happy that they were able to eat the mango without anybody seeing them, except one student. So anyway, to not, he wanted to give benefit to everybody, the teacher, so he asked them, and everybody said, yes, we were able to eat the mango without anybody seeing me. But one student did not answer, and then the teacher asked him that, what was so difficult? All your class fellows, they were able to do it without any difficulty. What was the problem? So he says, this morning you taught us that the Lord is present everywhere. So how could I eat a mango without him seeing me? So he said, you are the one who have actually understood the lesson. So, and this is also so true that sometimes we feel that nobody is observing us, so I can do it, it is Ekadashi and okay, I'm very hungry, so I can, have something, or the doctor has advised me not to eat sweets, but I look around and I see nobody is watching, so I can have a burfi. It's so delicious. So, but somebody is watching me. Always. So, he is aloof, but yet he has given us free will, but at the same time, he is there, he is observing each and every movement and activity of all of us. Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.